So last week, Pastor Ivan shared with us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word Logos, and the Word was with God, and became incarnate. And the presence and the indwelling of Jesus is really exemplified in our lives as we experience Him, how He transforms us and forms us to be the person that God wants us to be. Now today, we're going on in the book of John, chapter 1. And this passage is very important from my point of view because it's mentioned in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's about what John does in his experience of baptizing Jesus and seeing the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus as the Holy Spirit baptizes him. And I think this is one of the most important passages in the scripture for us to get a hold of, understanding, and practice it in our lives. Jean Darnell, who passed away about a year ago, shared with me that one of the most important things in our lives is to experience the Holy Spirit, to be baptized by it, and be transformed as we work with the Holy Spirit. She was telling me that when she was in England, all of a sudden while she was preaching, started speaking in tongues. Now, the Bible says when you speak in tongues, don't do it in public. Why? You can't understand it. The only way you speak in tongues, you need to have an interpreter. But God was saying to her, speak in tongues. So she was speaking in tongues, but it sounded very different. There was a passerby who was hearing her speaking tongues. And it was an ancient language. This guy was a academic who studied this ancient language. And so went to Pastor Jean and asked her after the service, how did you know how to speak that kind of language? It's a forgotten language. And so Pastor Jean asked her, asked him, what did I say? And he said, you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right there, he became Christian. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is something that is supernatural, right? It's not rational, but that's how God works. And John is talking about the Holy Spirit in that this way. Who is John the Baptist? First of all, he, by birth, is a relative of Jesus. His mother is cousin to Mary, the mother of Jesus. His birth is very special, just like the birth of Jesus. You know, while in the womb of Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt the unction of the Holy Spirit, you know, shaking in him. And what's interesting is he was a very unusual person. Some of the people said he was part of the Jewish Essene community. That means the Essenes were the people who lived in the wilderness and felt that the world was all dirty, so they took baths all the time. And he lived on locusts. You know what locusts are? Grasshoppers. Yeah. And by the way, grasshoppers are really good to eat with honey. You know, he ate honey and locusts. And he was a very humble person because in the scriptures, in John 3:30, another version says, he must increase and I must decrease. In this NIV says, he must become greater and I must become less. And he was known to be a bridge between the Old Testament, where salvation was through the Jewish community, to Jesus, where salvation is for all. And so the prophecy says that he'll be baptizing Jesus. And so he sees Jesus. And the first verse he says is, behold the Lamb of God. Now, what does the Lamb symbolize? In the Jewish tradition, Lamb is what we call cleansing. When we have sin, the atonement or cleansing of our sins, we would sacrifice the Lamb to the Lord for forgiveness and cleansing. And says, behold the Lamb of God who will give salvation to everyone. And that's what he's saying. And as he says this, verse 32, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Now, the passage in Luke says the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You're my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And so what John is testifying to is the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And he's talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And so let's look at the importance. First of all, the Holy Spirit ministered to us on a personal level. If you look at the scriptures in John 14, 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and to be with you forever." Now, another version says, "The Holy Spirit will be your helper." Now, in the Greek word, paraclete, it is called to the side in order to help. The Father and the Son called the Spirit to the side of the disciples in order to comfort. So the Holy Spirit's here this week. You guys ever felt down? We are human beings who face range of emotions, correct? And when you're really down, he comes and comforts you. The Holy Spirit will admonish you. Sometimes he'll convict you of something that you have done wrong. Sometimes I'm quick with my mouth and I make a mistake, and the Holy Spirit says, "You should not have said that." And he'll admonish you. He'll convict you of your sins, and sometimes he'll correct you. And when we need to be corrected, he will. But also he will guide us in all that we do. Personally, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in what you need to do. And the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you know that Jesus is speaking to you every day? And you don't necessarily have to say, "Holy Spirit, speak." It's right there in the Bible. Go to the primary source. And through the Word of God. Who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit, working with human beings, wrote the Bible. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Bible. But also he'll speak to you through the voice of God. And that's what paraclete means, that he will teach you, he will guide you. In other words, in order that in any given condition, the paraclete may furnish whatever help is necessary. So the word in the Greek is basically whatever you need help on. You know, no one understands your suffering. Would you agree? Because we're not you. But the Holy Spirit does, because he's there with you all the time. And he knows just the right medicine to comfort you and guide you and lead you and lift you up. And so that's his job. And that's how he ministers to us personally. And it's very comfortable to know that he does that. Look at John 14, 7. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So when it says here in this passage, he saw Jesus dwell. John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit dwell in Jesus. He's with you. He's with you through all your ups and downs, and he's there guiding you, teaching you, and helping you in all that you need. That's why I need the Holy Spirit ministry. It's a personal ministry that he does to me, but also the Holy Spirit, once he starts ministering personally, it's not just for you. It's to reach out to others. So we need to understand this, first of all. Holy Spirit, okay, say this after me. Holy Spirit is not just power, but it's a relationship. So Holy Spirit's a person. He relates with you. He has feelings. And so the stronger you get in your personal relationship with Holy Spirit, the more power you'll have in ministering. It's not like this. If I get power, I can be great in ministry. That doesn't work. The way the Holy Spirit works is he'll work with you. And he wants you to get to know him deeper. And the more you get to know him, the more the ministry will flow. And so what kind of ministry does he do? The first thing we need to understand is in verse 32, it says the Holy Spirit dwelt on Jesus. Now, the word here, dwelt, is often used as an enablement. You say, well, Jesus is God, yeah, but also Jesus is human. And he needs to be enabled as a human being, the power of God. And so when he says the Holy Spirit dwelt on Jesus, it really means that the Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to do the work of God. You know, the miraculous healings, raising the dead to life, turning, you know, loaves of bread to feed 5,000 people. This is the miraculous act of God. It's not him as a person, but the Holy Spirit working through him, through his power, through his relationship, doing the work of God. And it's very powerful if you allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to do the work of God. R.A. Torrey writes about the enablement of the Holy Spirit, which I will get into later. But he talks about how R.A. Torrey, he started Biola University. You guys ever heard of Biola? Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And when he talks about the enablement, what he talks about is empowerment, that the Holy Spirit works through you. And when he does ministry, he works through you. But the other part we need to understand is the Holy Spirit gives birth. If you look at the book of John chapter 3, it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. When you see Jesus Christ, this is a dialogue where Jesus has with Nicodemus. It's how can one be born again? And then Jesus says, to be born again means to be born from above. The term born again is being born from above, and you're born in the Spirit, and he gives life. In fact, it says the Holy Spirit breathes in us life. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just empowerment, but he gives life to us, and we're the ones who are working to accomplish the work of God. Now, Jesus briefly mentions in the book of John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15, this. When the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what we will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit, as I said before, will guide you in the truth as you minister, as you work with him. The Holy Spirit will speak the words of Jesus. That means you are God's voice. And the Holy Spirit will speak through you. The Holy Spirit will glorify him. And he will make known everything that Jesus wants. And he will convict the world of sin. It's not your words. It's the Holy Spirit who will minister through you to convict people of our sins. So, how does the Holy Spirit work from a personal and from a ministerial point of view? I'd like to illustrate this. A good pastor friend of mine. So I'm in a stage of life where my kids are all grown up. And I thought this would be kids out of the house. It's really nice. And I do say I got wonderful children. But you know what? Because they're adults, I cannot control their action. And so it's anxiety because you're wondering, what are they doing? Well, pastor who's similar to my age, we're really buddies because we suffer the same, you know, the things we go through with our children. So my pastor friend told me, hey, you know, you need to pray for me. I said, what happened? My daughter and I had a huge fight. And she said that I'm very insensitive. And she has it from her perspective. And she says this, whenever I grow up, I'll never do what you did. Now, I said that too before. I told my parents, when I grow up, I'll never do what you did too. Isn't it true that when they grow up, they're going to say the same? So the pastor friend and I were laughing. Oh, my goodness. But he's so stressed out because his daughter and him are very close. You ever had a break in relationship with someone who's really close to you, it hurts. And so that night, he told me as he was about to go to sleep, he couldn't sleep. He wasn't at peace. So he was praying, Lord, now I understand what it really means, how you feel when we're turning away from you and the brokenness you feel. And the verse came, don't be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So what did he do? He started praying, Lord, there's a lot of tension between me and my daughter. So I'm praying to you. Work this out. So he goes to sleep. So he says to me, it's something, he and I are very similar. When we get really stressed out or depressed, we go to sleep. I think our perception is you sleep to get away from the depression, right? Or the stress. The Lord wakes me up at around like 12 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord then speaks to him, go and drive where your daughter is, which is about 40 minutes away. And do a drive around like Joshua, who let the people of Israel to break down the walls of Israel and pray for her that your relationship will get better. He told the Lord, but you know, she has a lot of problems too. And the Lord really convicted him, saying, she's going to come and fess up about that too. You just go do that kind of prayer. So we went to the daughter's house while she's sleeping. He went and just prayed over driving. Then went back home, went to sleep, woke up in the morning. Lo and behold, an email comes, says, Dad, I'm coming over. And, when it's so emotional, you're trying to work out things with, how many guys have family members you have a hard time to get along with sometimes, right? Tensed out. You don't say, I'm sorry right away. You do it by action, by showing up. And then, the mother knew exactly what she liked, cooked the food for her, and then there was conversation. And the tension melted. And you know what happened? This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the minister of the Holy Spirit personally comforted him and gave him peace that everything's going to be okay. And then from a ministry point of view, it was the work of healing, apologizing to one another. And his intercessory prayer for a lot of parents and children is healing ministry. So you see how the Holy Spirit works? He works personally in you, then he works in ministering to others, he and his daughter. And his testimony to me said, oh, I have hope with my daughters too and my sons. God's going to heal, because everyone has a perspective and we think it's always right. We justify it. We back up that perspective. God is the only one who knows the truth. But what God is after is healing, comfort, and wholeness. And so that's what Jesus did. Jesus got ministered to personally by the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit and him worked together to minister to others. So he wants to impart this. He wants to impart this to us. So how is he going to do that? How does Jesus impart? What's interesting is, here in the passage, John talks about the baptism. The one who comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, what is this baptism? In the Bible, there's two forms of baptism. One is what we call the water baptism. You know why you get baptized in water? To say, I'm a Christian. If you look at 1 Peter 3:21, the water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, also not to remove dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is this passage saying? You don't become Christian by just being baptized in water. It's just a baptism is to say, I pledge my life to live the best I can to be a Christian. That's why we get water baptized. And I'm pledging this before people and community. Now, what is Holy Spirit baptism? If you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 and 8, on one occasion when he was eating with them, this is after Jesus resurrection from the dead, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which of you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So what is this Holy Spirit baptism? If I think about Holy Spirit baptism, what I look at is this. I believe there's one baptism, but it's two parts. Water baptism, the other part is the Holy Spirit baptism. And what is this Holy Spirit baptism? R.A. Torrey writes this way. To sum up everything that has been said about the result of baptism with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming upon the believer, filling his mind with the great apprehension of truth, especially Christ taking possession of his faculty, imparting to him gifts not otherwise but which qualify him for the service to which God has called him. What is this? It is God coming to you and imparting, the Holy Spirit imparting to you the gifts. It doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? There's nothing in the Bible which says you have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is allowing Jesus to come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit to empower us. It's opening up his power. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord Savior, as he quoted in the Apostles' Creed, right? The Trinity comes into your heart. But baptism of the Holy Spirit is enabling and giving the permission to the Holy Spirit to do his thing in our lives. This is Pastor Soon's language. To do his thing. So for instance, when we think about this more deeply, what it means is it creates the ability or the energy to start something. So cars that are made. What do you put in? Out of Detroit, right? You put in gas. The first time you turn it on, that's that energy. It makes it go. Likewise, in your Christian life, if he ever not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is the other part of baptism that we need to have the empowerment of God working through us. Don Bashan, he's an author, writes this way. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a saving experience of a non-Christian, but an empowering experience for a Christian in order that he may supernaturally be equipped to perform his ministry. So, what he's saying is, if you want to do the work of God, you got to allow the supernatural power of God work through you. Because it's not about me. Who is it? It's about him who works through you. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And what is the purpose? R.A. Torrey wrote this way. The purpose of baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to take a happy, holy, or have an experience that is supernatural. Instead, the primary purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to empowering us to serve God and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, if you look at this more and more, the early church, the reason why they needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit was you cannot live the Christian life or do the work of God unless you have the empowering work that is greater, the greater power, and that is the Holy Spirit. That's why we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's why R.A. Torrey says, baptism is absolutely necessary in every Christian for the service that Christ demands and expects of him. So if you look at the life of Jesus, he doesn't go out and preach the gospel. What does he do? He gets baptized in water and gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see that enablement? That's the first thing he does. And that's why if you look at Acts chapter 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were in the power of the devil because God was with him. He could do the work of God, casting out evil, healing, because the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about baptism and Holy Spirit. This is first time. Those of you who never got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what we ask for. So he can enable us. But with baptism and Holy Spirit, because we're sinful, it's hard to keep up the power of God. And this is what we call the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's just like driving a car. Initially, when you first buy the car, you need gas to ignite it and go. Well, gasoline goes and goes on empty. We need to fill it up. Why do we need the filling of the Holy Spirit? It's partly because of this. When you become a Christian, we still sin. Do you agree? How many guys lied after you became a Christian? Okay, how many guys were tempted to cheat on your exam? Now, I confess, when I go to my high school reunion, I hang out with my cheating buddy, and we would talk about how we cheated in Latin, you know? And you think we're holy? No. How many guys have done sexual impurity? Yes. How many guys have done drunkenness? Some of us done all sorts of things. And the question is, if I'm a Christian, why do I sin? It's because when you see Jesus Christ into your heart, we have what we call a sin nature that lives within us. And that's not going to go away until we die and get resurrected with Jesus. As long as we're living in this world, you're living in two worlds. You know what that is? The spirit of darkness and spirit of light. And that's why if you look at Romans, Paul says, I don't want to sin, but I still sin. And so as we sin, what it does is the effect of the Holy Spirit, because it's holy, right, becomes less and less. That's why if you read the 12 D.L. Moody, he says, why do you need the filling of the Holy Spirit? He says, because I leak. I get emptied out all the time because of my sin. And what we need is filling of the Holy Spirit to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us over and over again, all the time. So the first is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to start off the empowerment of God. Then the second is what we call the filling of the Holy Spirit because we leak all the time. And so the question is, how do I get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, people think getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is a very supernatural experience. I used to think like that. I used to think, man, I should shake, or I should have these manifestations or speaking tongues. That's not true. How many here don't speak in tongues? Amen. How many here speak in tongues? Amen. How many you don't know? Amen. It's okay. That's not that important. You get the point? What's more important is to be released by Jesus to not only do the work of God, to really have him dominate our lives, to be transformed, to be like him. And when Jesus is in us, working through the Holy Spirit, what he does is he prepares you to do the work of God in a very profound way, unexpected ways. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of you, and the Bible says each one of you are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So some of us think we have to be prophetic to work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not always true. Some of you, through your gift of teaching, might turn people around. You know, C.S. Lewis, you know, he became a Christian by reading and through learning teaching from people. Some of you might have the gift of helps or image. Whatever way, God's going to use that and empower you to really receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, how do I get baptized? It's very simple. Of course, you need to have an attitude of wanting it. Of course, you need to have this absolute surrender. Of course, you need to move in faith, believing that God's going to work. But it's very simple. You don't need Pastor Soon to lay hands on you. All you say is this: Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. It's very simple. And if you never did that, ask Jesus out of genuineness to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You know why? Once you do that, your life will never be the same. When I became a Christian, I used to think that Holy Spirit was something spooky because I'm very rational. And so at seminary, when I met my wife, the first thing I said to her is, don't you ever speak in tongues in front of me, because I think that was demonic. And whenever she did speak in tongues, she freaked me out. But over the years, right out of seminary and coming to UCLA doing ministry, I really noticed that I've been really thirsty spiritually. You guys ever feel empty? And like you're a Christian, but you're not feeling it. And it seems like ministry was nothing but a grind, day in, day out, small groups, Bible study, evangelism, you know, the whole works of prayer and so forth. And I was so thirsty and emotionally so tired that I was hungering for more. So what happened? God gives what we call Jesus encounters, unexpected Jesus encounters. He does it through circumstances. He sends you people. He does all sorts of things. And so out of blue, at seminary, I met a guy by the name of David Ross, who really helped my wife to grow in the faith. There was something about him that was a little bit different. He was sensitive to talk, not to talk to the Holy Spirit in front of me, because I would say, be quiet, I don't want to hear about it. And then I had a good friend of mine in seminary who used to go to the Vineyard. He used to talk about John Wimber. So God started bringing people. But back then, what good is it to learn about something or change if your heart isn't open, right? It doesn't make any sense. And so then God brought this person by the name of J. Christy Wilson. You guys ever heard of Urbana? He was the first one who started Urbana. And a missiologist who was a missionary to Afghanistan. And his father set up my mentor, Sam and Eileen Moffitt, through a tennis match. I didn't know the world was that small. And he started talking about the Holy Spirit, gave me this book, The Work and the Ministry of the Holy Spirit by R.A. Torrey. One night he goes, you can come to the Vineyard and meet John Wimber. So John Wimber was preaching there, and what freaked me out is in the middle of sermon, he goes, there's a person who has a problem with the ear, and your name is this. I was thinking, did he pay that person to show up, you know, and this person shows up. He lays hands on her, and she falls. I'm thinking, did he pay that person to fall? And then there's people around me who are just being shaking and, you know, this is really demonic power. That's how I feel. Okay. Christy then introduced me to more books on the Holy Spirit. And as I read more and more, it made more sense. So I started looking at the scriptures. In the middle of that, then God brings me a friend of mine whom I haven't seen for a long time. He started the Pasadena Revival, Cheon. And we used to meet together every day. With him, Mike Flynn, Lou Engel, who does the prayer movement of repentance, and several others, we were just praying. And these guys were really weird because they would shake and go like this. And especially Lou, he's so noisy, he goes like this. And I'm like, dude, I'm not used to that. You know, that's good for you, not for me. So Che goes, John or not? You know, there's this laughing revival in Toronto. All of a sudden, people start laughing. You guys ever heard of that? That was the 1990s, you know? All of a sudden, you know, people started laughing uncontrollably. And I thought, this is hysterical, mentally delusional experience. So I called Christy up and said, what do you think I should do? He goes, by all means, I'm praying for you to go check it out. So I go there, and I think he was standing until everyone fell. And so I decided to lie down on my own. So he would pass me by. And then I said, Jesus, if this is really you, show me. And then my body started shaking. I said, in the name of Jesus, this is the devil. Stop it. And I still started shaking. And the Bible says, test the spirits, right? I said, name of Jesus, this is you. Continue. If not, don't. I started shaking. So my brother, my friend Che picks me up. There's hundreds of people start praying for the people. So I started praying. And people started falling. I said, what's wrong with my hand? And so this is new. But my skepticism on the Holy Spirit through experience became more and more less. And the Bible started affirming everything that I was thinking, experiencing. All of a sudden, when I'm driving in the car, I remember vividly, well, going from Pasadena to UCLA, you know, the 405 exchange, 10 and 405. I said, Holy Spirit, if this is really you, come. And I started speaking in tongues. I said, what is this gibberish that I'm speaking? Oh, no, what happened to you? I'm becoming like my wife. And then I realized over and over that actually I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I said to the Lord, to Jesus, it's baptize me. And not only did I start speaking in tongues, not only did I experience more power. What kind of power? Not to do things in life by your own. This power is to depend on God to take care of a lot of things. Oh, you got to do your part. But when you're stressed, not to overly be anxious, but lift it up in prayer and do whatever God can, what you can do. And walking like this, what happened? Freedom. Deeper understanding of being really relaxed in relationships. You guys ever get stressed out when you meet people? There's people who have anxiety when they meet people. You know that? I don't feel that way at all. Now I'm perfectly fine to go to group meetings and go to a table where there's nobody. Just sit down. And my wife thinks I'm really weird because that's what I do all the time. But God brings people in onto the table. And I'm perfectly fine. Why? Because the Holy Spirit defines my identity and I'm not that afraid about who I sit with. Before, I used to. What else been healing? Emotional healing, where I realized that I've been a victim of abuse when I was younger from my grandparents and my uncles and aunts. Not sexual, but physical abuse, food abuse. That's why I like food so much. You know, it's just kind of revealing how God works and how you become transformed. And true sanctification, so this is a theological word, true change from our sinfulness works not only with your effort, but the Holy Spirit working in you and encountering and transforming you. And because of that, everything we face, He's in control. You know, the retreat, when that was the strangest thing, two vans breaking down, you know, the big van breaking down, and the van was in the roughest neighborhood of the hood in L.A., and the Lord was saying, it's going to be okay. And then when I got there, we jumped the car, and then the minivan breaks down too. And then we used the big van to jump the minivan, you know. I mean, just kind of the way the Lord works, Him saying, just be calm. This is what it means when you have the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That He'll minister you in a very personal way by comforting you, encouraging you, but He works through you to do the work of God. Healing. You're not healing because of your power, it's because of the Holy Spirit. Casting out evil. You're not casting out evil because of your power. It's because the Holy Spirit works through you to cast out evil. Teaching. You're not teaching people about Jesus because you know so much. It's the Holy Spirit interpreting and speaking before you. You're not leading people to Christ because it's your convincing power. No. It's the Holy Spirit that works through you to work the convincing power. To work through you. And it all starts with Jesus. You know, on the night that Jesus was baptized, He broke bread and he gave it to His disciples and He said, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And in the same manner, He poured wine and said, this is my blood shed for you. Now, why did he do this? The start of your experience of the Holy Spirit begins with your salvation. And through our salvation, we're part of God's kingdom. But the other part is the empowering, the ability to live the Christian faith is through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite you to join us in celebrating our salvation, because remember what he did, the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we partake of this meal, we pray that we could remember the things you have done in our lives, the gifts of God for the people of God. And so, Lord, may we partake it to remember you and to honor you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. I'm going to ask the service to come forward. And I just want to encourage you, out of sensitivity, do not drink from the cup, okay? So just dip it in. Come join us as we partake of the meal together.